Bigfoot, the Loch Ness Monster, the Chupacabra, UFOs, aliens, Area 51, conspiracies, unsolved crimes, the supernatural. Are they real or are they figments? With your hosts, Colleen and Eddie Medina.
Hello and welcome to Figments, the podcast where we talk about the unknown and the unexplained. I'm your host, Eddie Medina, and with me tonight is the spooktacular Miss Colleen Medina.
Ooh. Hello.
And Figments is back, folks. We are back. Are we labeling this like season two?
Sure, yeah, season two.
Yeah, in reality, I just got really busy with my other podcasts and things things happened. But we're back.
We see your priorities.
I know. We're back and we're ready to rock and roll with some new episodes. And Colleen, tell the folks what we're going to be talking about tonight.
We are going to be talking about Lone Star Specters.
That's right.
Ghosts in Texas.
Yeah.
Because in case you don't know, the Lone Star State is Texas.
Wow. We're also going to be talking about the Granbury Paranormal Expo, which is happening this coming weekend. As you're listening to this in just a couple of days, it's going to be on, let's see, October 1st.
Saturday, October 1st.
Saturday, yeah, October 1st.
10 to 5.
And we're going to talk about that in just a little bit. So that's going to be a very exciting thing. And we have to give a big shout out to the head of the Paranormal Expo, Brandy Herr.
That's right.
Here at Figments, we're very transparent, not unlike a ghost. I went there.
Yeah, let's not go there again.
And just to let y'all know, we actually recorded a really amazing hour's worth of stuff with Brandy last week, which was supposed to be this episode that you're listening to tonight.
I know.
So we promise we will have Brandy on at a future date. It's just that she's so tied up with the expo coming up in just a few days, we couldn't re-record the episode.
And why did we have to re-record the episode?
This is the thing. This will kick off our spectacular evening. We record it, and we record it with the program. You know, I've been doing these podcasts, whether it's Figments or the Star Wars podcast, the Rancor Pit that I do with Cole Houston. And we use the same programs, and I've used this thing over and over. We went through all the normal steps. Shows it was recording. We do our hour and 15 minutes with Brandy. It was awesome. We disconnected. And I went to go check the file, and it said, time zero.
Yeah.
So Brandy, and I'm going to defer to her since she's the expert, she thinks that it was something paranormal.
Ooh.
Because that's the only explanation.
It was. Yeah, that's the only thing that could happen.
I've used this program repeatedly. We went through all the right steps. I mean, it has nothing to do with the fact that it's probably our punk ass laptop, you know, crapping out on us or anything.
Or maybe you just don't know what you're doing.
That's true. But anyway, let's get going on stuff. Let's talk a little bit about the Granbury Paranormal Expo.
Yeah, I'm excited about this. I remember hearing about this at the Weatherford Convention in April, the very beginning of April.
That was the Weatherford Comic Con?
Yes. Okay, and that's when we met Brandy. And I already had plans to visit Granbury and do the ghost tour that she leads. And so we kind of knew who each other was from that.
Yeah.
And I was so excited to hear about the expo. And I remember thinking, okay, October 1st, that's so far away.
Yeah.
And here it is, just a few days away.
I know.
This is so cool. I'm so excited.
Oh, I am just definitely excited. I mean, we've both been talking about it. We've been getting our Halloween decorations out. We've been using our Halloween mugs, coffee mugs. I mean, we're like all in for this thing on Saturday.
And I've been watching ghost shows. I watched The Fog and, you know, one of my favorites, Sleepy Hollow. And I know you love that one.
The Jeff Goldblum one?
Yes.
Okay, if you listeners out there have not checked out the Jeff Goldblum Legend of Sleepy Hollow movie, you actually do. It's pretty good. But, yeah, so Granbury Paranormal Expo, October 1st, is coming Saturday, just days away. It's free.
Yes, free and free parking.
Free parking. You can't get a whole lot of free nowadays, especially with a big event like this. And what's
I think it's something like 80 vendors.
I think so. It's growing by the day. I mean, like, if you go to their Facebook page, which I recommend, go there. They have a map of the area. Kind of gives you an idea of where to park if you're not familiar with Granbury. But it seems like they're, like, every other day they're adding another vendor. And this is what's cool about it. It used to be, now this is what, the fifth?
I think it's the fifth annual.
Fifth annual. And what Brandy was telling us was it started out at one of the local convention halls.
Yeah,
so it was an
inside.
Indoor event.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know me, I do the Comic-Con, so I'm used to that sort of thing. Colleen, on the other hand, hates indoor
events.
Yeah,
if you know
like
me, when Eddie's inside, I'm at home outside.
Yeah, or if it's a North Texas comic book show, you're out at the pool.
Yeah, I'm not just at home inside. I'm at home outside.
So what's cool about this is they're kicking it up a notch. They're actually going to be holding it at the historic downtown square there in Granbury. And so it's an all-outdoor event. And this is really cool because it's more inclusive now. They're including all the local restaurants. The vendors are going to be set up on the sidewalks.
Mm-hmm,
is that
yeah,
right?
They will be. And I still haven't found out if there's going to be wine. So those of you that are like me that want to know if you're going to go or not, because if there's wine or not, no, I'm just kidding. You should go anyway because it's going to be really cool. But, you know, wine just makes it better.
Well, I'm sure there's going to be something because everyone's going all in. Like, the town's been really supportive, Brandy said, and, pardon me, the restaurants there, I know she said one in particular, they made the announcement on their Facebook page that the employees are going to be dressing up and they're going to have a special spooky menu with all sorts of fun foods and fun drinks.
Yeah, and isn't someone doing a zombie crawl, but you have to pay extra for that?
Yeah, that's the expo is free, but the zombie pub crawl is maybe 20. Yeah, but yeah, you can look
it
up on Facebook.
I was thinking it was 10, but it might be 20.
Yeah, so that would be pretty cool. So if you're into the, you know, checking out the local bar scene there, that would be fun. You know, go as a zombie and
that would be fun.
Do all that. And this is what's cool about the event. We're going to go on about it because we really want to sell this only because, and we're not getting any money from them. This is like just us excited for this event. Because,
well, you might not be, but.
Oh, hello. What's so cool about it, it's not just like what you would think a paranormal expo. Like, they're going to have obvious guests, which we'll name here in a minute. But they're also going to have, like, arts and crafts vendors. They're going to have some cosplayers out. So they're going to have a little bit of the Comic-Con scene. I know for a fact that a good friend of ours, Catherine David, who runs Galactic Dust Bunnies Studios, she does some amazing, amazing work. Comic book work. She takes commissions. She'll be set up out there. And our good friend, Tug, the superhero bulldog. No, not bulldog. He's not a bulldog.
No, he's a bull terrier.
Bull terrier, there you go. Sorry, a little bit too much one-to-one. But tell them about Tug, Colleen, for those who don't know about the amazing Tug.
Yeah, Tug is a rescue dog, and I believe, I can't remember his whole story, but wasn't he dumped on the side of the road?
Yeah.
I believe, and
all scabby and near hairless and just
malnourished. Yeah, and he was left to die. And did Kim and Blake actually rescue him then?
Mm-hmm.
So they rescued him, brought him, you know, nursed him back to health, and
yeah,
he's just this amazing, cute, sweet dog that shows up at the conventions, and just he's so neat, so cool. His story is so cool.
Kim, his adopted mom, Kim Movard, she works with the Animal Hope Rescue Center there in Fort Worth. I think it's actually based in Fort Worth. And I actually got to go spend some time with them last week, and it was an amazing event. So it's what Tug does is he's got his own comic book series, and they're fun. We have every single issue.
Oh, that's right, he does.
Yeah, we have every issue. We have his little trading card, his posters. We're big Tug fans. I mean, we got everything Tug related, and so it's a great comic book series. But what's cool about it is the money that they raise off of all the comics and merchandise goes to the Animal Hope Shelter. So everything, it's going right back into a good cause. So that's definitely funny. Go find Teggy Baby, as they like to call him. He's usually wearing his little red cape, and he's got his goggles on. You can't miss him. He's adorable.
I do have one complaint about Tug. Because whenever I am trying to love on him and pet him, what does he do? He turns his head and stares at his mom.
Oh, yeah.
It's like he is miserable because I am loving on him, and he stares at his mom.
Yeah.
So I do have that complaint about Tug.
Oh, okay.
Well, you know, his attention should be on me.
Is that it?
Yes, because that's the important thing.
Oh, gosh. So, there you have it. There's going to be vendors, artists.
Guests.
Special guests. First up, we have Alex Vincent.
Oh.
Who was Andy, not Dwyer from Parks and Rec, Andy from the Child's Play movies. I believe the first two Child's Play, and I think he had like an uncredited cameo in one of the later ones. So, yeah, Alex Vincent, who was Andy in the Child's Play movie series, will be there to meet with everyone, sign autographs, and just have a good old time. Let's see, who else? There's going to be the Ghost Tour Gals. I know they're doing their thing down there. They're going to be set up. I think they've been at, like, Wizard World in the past and all, so they'll be there. Gosh, I'm going to butcher the lady's name, and I'm sorry ahead of time, but Shelley Kaher?
I think maybe Kaher.
K-A-E-H-R. She is a doctor, Shelley Kaher, and she's known as the Past Life Lady. So she's going to be doing something paranormal related there, too. So that's definitely a big deal. So just to quickly wrap up, Granbury Paranormal Expo this coming Saturday, October 1st. From 10 to 5, and immediately after is the zombie pub crawl at Granbury Historic Downtown. It's free, once again, free to the public, free parking. You don't want to miss it.
And another cool thing about it is that is where they do the ghost tour. Whenever I went on the ghost tour in towards the end of April, we met just right there in the middle of downtown. I think we were outside of the, was it the Nut House Hotel? Nut House Inn? I don't know.
There's
a bunch of nuts around. So we met there, and we were able to walk around in the tour. Yeah, Nut House
Historic Hotel, yeah.
I believe that's where we met outside of. And the ghost tour takes you around exactly, I believe, where we're going to be at the Paranormal Expo. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, the Nut House Hotel, it was built back in 1893. It's that really cool limestone building if you've been down there before. And it's had all sorts of paranormal happenings. There's been an apparition of a woman there, and who many believe is Mary Lou Watkins, who's the former owner and proprietor of the joint, as it were. That's the place where they have that gift shop downstairs.
Yeah.
And you bought that Longhorns mug, that coffee mug. I wonder, floated across the kitchen or anything at any point?
Yeah, that's why it was levitating. Okay.
Yeah, it was there at the Nut House. Nut House?
Oh.
Nut House.
I know. I love the name of it.
Right. And, you know, all sorts of things. People have said, like, you know, faucets turn on and off, doors shutting, and so forth, strange noises. Brandy was even telling us, I think that was where they were doing the tour, where there was a younger girl on the tour and who saw a woman dressed in red go into, or she was already either in the hotel or going into it. And during the tour, Brandy mentioned that they've seen an apparition of a woman in red. And so this girl's like, oh my gosh, I saw that, you know, before we got started. So that's kind of a cool thing. Remember hearing a story, since we are talking Granbury ghosts. I also remember hearing a story where this person stayed at the hotel. And it's not very big. It's not like your traditional, you know, hotel. I think they're very limited on their rooms. This person, Colleen, I haven't told you the story. They happened to stay at the hotel on one weekend where they were the only guest.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah. And so apparently they said that it was spooky, and they're kind of like trying not to let their imagination get the better of them. And I think they were staying there with their mother, if I'm not mistaken. A mother, yeah, or maybe it could have been an older sister. And they said what was weird is they had the curtains closed there. And they noticed on, she noticed in the room was like a shadow figure against the wall. And so when she asked the mother, do you see what I see? I think the mother not only saw the shadow figure, but she also saw red lights, like orbs, moving around the room. And they immediately thought, well, maybe they're car lights from outside, but they realized that the curtains, they had the liners, and also they were heavy, that nothing could penetrate into the room. They said these were very distinct red orbs floating around the room.
You know what else? What other story
has
red lights? Is one of the stories in the Amityville Haunting.
Oh, yeah?
I believe it was the supposed pig outside the window, and they say it was a cat.
Yeah.
But we don't have to get off on that. Maybe that's just something to look forward to the next time we talk about ghosts.
Yeah, cool. That's something. So, yeah. But, and before we get into more Texas tales, I know we kind of like jumped right into it accidentally. Mm-hmm. Just to also kind of give a quick plug for Brandy. It's H-E-R-R. She wrote the book Haunted Granberry. And so you can... Now, if you're local, we encourage you to, especially if you're at the festival, you can't leave the festival without buying a copy of Haunted Granberry. Get her to sign it, you know, meet her, get to, she's an awesome person, just fun to talk with. Take her tour.
She's a good storyteller.
Oh my gosh, yes. That's why I can't wait to have her on the show
and
again.
And she knows her stuff. The tour is awesome.
Yeah. It's something else to sit there and just listen to her tell after tale. But
is she a tall tale teller?
Okay. She's not very tall. Not much on me.
No, yeah.
But Haunted Granberry is a book. Buy from her personally in Granberry if you can. If you're somewhere else in the world... because I know our audience kind of stretches far and wide. Go to Amazon. It's on Amazon. I'm sure it's let's see here. I'll just pull it up real quick. And, Amazon, it's $18.61. You can't beat that. So, $20 listed price.
You know, just because they're not in Texas doesn't mean they can't get online to see where the book is sold.
I know. But I'm trying to make it easier for them.
Amazon themselves and find it out. Well, can we talk about how we got interested in ghosts? Or
Let's go into it. We're done with our plugs. Let's get on to the meat and potatoes.
Okay. Wait, am I meat or are you potatoes? Or are you meat and I'm potatoes or what?
I'll be meat.
Ew. Okay.
The man meat.
Oh, what? No, come on.
What? No.
Really? Now I have to start over.
Go ahead, go for it.
Okay, I think my most favorite ghost story is one that my mom would tell me. And we grew up in Oak Cliff, but my aunt lived in North Dallas close to White Rock Lake, and that is where my parents live now. When my aunt moved out and her husband moved out, my parents and we moved in. So it's kind of cool that later on we moved into that house. But my mom told me this story of the vanishing hitchhiker. And I think that is my, except for the Headless Horseman, that's my favorite story, ghost story. And she personalized it, talking about it happened at White Rock Lake. And there is a house, a big estate there in the Arboretum that you can actually go and take a tour of and visit. And we've done that. And I believe it's called the DeGoyer Estate. My mom always said that it was the little girl that lived in the house, but she never told me her name. And so I guess it made it more mysterious that she didn't have a name, or it could be that my mom was just making it up. So she said, of course, that people would drive close to the estate, around the lake, and they would come upon the apparition of a girl they thought it was real. And so, she was wet. It was obvious she was wet and cold and scared. And so they would ask her to get in the car. And, she got in the back seat. And she would actually tell them where, to they could take her home. Because sometimes ghosts don't talk or whatever, I don't know. And then whenever, you know, they would kind of drive off and they wouldn't get very far and they would turn around and she'd be gone. And just a puddle of water.
Oh, I knew you were going to go there.
Yes. And so it was awesome because as a little, and it's not like my mom was trying to scare me to death or anything, but my mom was a very good ghost or just storyteller as well. And come Halloween, she did everything up so cool. Still does. And she's like, what? I don't know, 100? No. She's like 80 or so, almost 80. And so, anyway, she would always try to just make it fun and festive. And I think that is what got me into being interested in ghost stories. I think that's my favorite ghost story. What's yours?
Well, you told kind of a personal story, so I'll go ahead and tell a story I heard from a friend of mine, so it's kind of personal, I suppose. And obviously, since this is our Lone Star Ghost episode, it takes place here in Texas, actually in Oak Cliff, you know, just right smack dab in Dallas. And it happened at, do you think it's okay to say the name of the church? I guess so, right?
I guess.
Okay. So, this ghost story happens at the Tyler Street United Methodist Church in Oak Cliff.
Ooh.
Dun, dun, dun. And my friend said that she was, it was Wednesday night, and they had their Wednesday night activities, and normally, earlier in the evening, the choir would be practicing in the sanctuary, and the teenagers are upstairs on the third floor. In the rec room, you know, doing like their Wednesday night shindig. And she said she was one of the last ones, she was the last one out. I guess she was like locking up.
No.
And this is
I will be like Gus. I will not enter a room first, and I will not enter a room last.
From Psych, for those who didn't catch that reference. So she's there, and she heads down from the third floor, and the way the sanctuary is set up is it's a huge sanctuary, and it sits on the second floor, and then the first floor is considered like the little fellowship hall downstairs, and there's some classrooms. So she comes from the third floor, she's come down the stairs, she's hearing the choir, you know, in the sanctuary still singing, and she's like, wait a second, they should have wrapped up like easily an hour ago. And the way this setup is, you know, you're in the sanctuary. Say, for instance, you're in the pews and you're looking at the front of the sanctuary, which is like a stage area that the choir would be on. And on either side of the stage area is an entrance door from the rest of the building. So she enters in to the left of the stage. And she said, you know, she's hearing the singing, and she enters in to the left of the stage, and the stage is like a half moon shape, half circular. So she looks over on the stage, she sees a group in choir robes singing, but she doesn't recognize anybody, which is odd for the size church. Everyone knows everyone else. So she says, as she's walking along the front of the stage, as she gets further and further along, the choir begins to disappear. To the point where by the time she gets far enough into the sanctuary, around to the front of the stage, they've completely phased away.
Uh-uh.
So she very understandably hightailed it out of there. So,
wow.
And this was
choir.
This was a church that you went to as a kid. I went to later in life. We both taught there at the school.
Yes.
So we were really familiar with that building. And what's so weird is I had my classroom in that exact building. Never had any kind of weird anything going on. And I would be up there late some evenings, you know, working on, you know, I taught art. So I'd be up there late sometimes working on art projects for the kids to prepare stuff. Yeah, I never experienced anything weird. I'd be in that room, in that building by myself, but I guess certain people, certain things happen to. Who knows?
So that's crazy.
Yeah.
Scary.
So yeah, they're in Oak Cliff. You know, I don't know. They may not be too crazy at the fact that I threw their name out there as now a possible location for people to go ghost touring. But it is what it is. There you go.
Yeah, it would bring them recognition and popularity.
Something, I guess.
Isn't it funny how some people can be in the same location and have a different experience? like this friend of yours experienced phantoms, and we never
felt anything like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So it manifests itself, I guess, to different people at different times.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now let me just, I do want to clarify that even though we're talking about ghosts, I do not believe in ghosts in the sense that I think it's people who have died, their spirits are walking around on the earth. I believe when you die, you immediately either go to heaven or hell. So I do not think that these ghosts or whatever it is, I like to say they're spirits. And I don't think that they're, you know, spirits of people that have died that are just, they can't find their way out of the world. I believe they're most of the time evil spirits, because I think the world is full of evil spirits. And I think there's probably some, I don't know, would you say that some of the what people are seeing are would be good spirits?
I don't know. Sometimes I wonder if these are just spirits up to no good and they're trying to confuse people.
Yeah, and see, that's, and I, again, I believe there are good spirits, but not ghosts, like angels and things sent from God, you know. But that's just confusing. Or maybe not confusing, but it's just something I don't really understand fully.
Yeah, it's not something I really get into much.
Is that because you're too scared?
Yeah. So you got another story to tell? Another Texas tale? Texas tale of terror?
I do. And this is my all-time favorite scary ghost story that happened in, or that is happening in Texas. So back in the 1930s or 40s, I've heard the 40s and then I've heard 30s or 40s. So we'll just say between the 30s and the 40s, a tragedy happened. This was in San Antonio, Texas, in the southern part of San Antonio on Mission Road. There's some railroad tracks there. And a busload, I believe it was 10 elementary students, were being driven home by the bus driver. And they came upon the railroad tracks, and I don't know what happened. Have you ever noticed that whenever cars come to railroad tracks in shows or movies, the car always seems to stall on the railroad tracks? Have you ever noticed that?
Yeah.
Like, remember Twilight Zone, the hitchhiker?
Yeah.
And she was and then whenever she backed up or she went forward, it made that really weird sound.
Yeah, I remember.
So it seems like it always happens in movies, but here it's happening in real life. So the bus actually stalled on the railroad tracks, and that here comes a train, and the bus, my guess is he was stopping, slowing down to look for the train. And I think it was a foggy day or something to where there was low visibility. He couldn't see. And so maybe he started, you know, old buses, they're cantankerous. So I don't know what happened, but somehow he got stuck on the railroad tracks. Of course, the train couldn't stop. The train was blowing its whistle and trying everything, but the train hit the bus, and all 10 children were killed. And I'm assuming the bus driver was killed too. So now they say that you can go to Mission Road, and you don't even have to get to the railroad tracks. You can stop on the road before you get to the railroad tracks and put your car in neutral, obviously leave off the emergency brake, and the ghosts of those children will push your car, you know, down the road across the railroad tracks to safety.
Yeah.
And they say if you put baby powder on the trunk of your car or whatever your vehicle is, and then after that happens, you get out, you'll be able to see fingerprints. Now, at first, I was hearing that it's only at night, but then I'm seeing more and more document instances happening where it's done during the day, and it's just over and over and over. Like, every car that goes there, they get pushed across the railroad tracks.
Yeah, and it was kind of hard for me to believe, and then we were doing a little bit of research into it, and they showed that video.
Right.
Of that lady who, she was working for on these TV shows, and she did like a little, you know, segment for it, And on the video, she's in the car. She gets to a certain spot before the railroad tracks, and did you say the tracks were uphill? Did you say that?
You can tell that the road is going uphill. Yeah, so you're thinking uphill.
Tracks.
What in the world? Yeah.
So she turns off the car, and sure enough, it starts rolling uphill, and as it gets closer to the road tracks, it starts to pick up a little speed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it picks up speed.
Enough to where once she was clearing the railroad tracks and she got to the other side, she actually had to apply her brake to slow down the car to make that turn.
Right.
The curve.
So that's part of the story.
And the fingerprints. She got out on the camera.
She had already put baby powder there.
Yeah. You could see little fingerprints.
Right, you could.
Or what looks like fingerprints
in
the video.
She was kind of freaking out.
Yeah.
And part of the story is what was it, in the 80s? A lady was driving down Mission Road and came upon a little girl that was wet. I mean, you know, she was out there stranded. I think it was nighttime.
I don't remember her being wet.
No, not wet?
The hitchhiking girl? No.
No, because that wasn't Lady of the Lake.
No,
see,
no,
there's
same.
Two yeah, different stories.
So. Yeah, they're similar. But
and
no.
It wasn't raining, too.
No, she... She was just on the side of the road, this little girl.
Let's add our own details
right.
to the story and spread rumors.
Why not?
So, yeah. So, anyway, the lady can clearly see that she's needing help. So, she gets her in the car, and she gets her seat belted, buckled in. And does she tell her where to go, or does
yeah.
she just kind of point?
No,
she tells
talks
her where to go.
To her.
She talks to her, okay.
She gave her name, Cindy Lou
Who. Oh, yeah, Cindy Sue.
Not Cindy Lou Who, then.
No, it wasn't Cindy. No, it's not the Grinch. The lady wasn't green. But anyway, yeah, her name was Cindy Sue. She told her where to go. And so they get to the house, and it's obvious that the little girl doesn't want to get out of the car. And so the lady thought, okay, well, there must be something going on at home. Maybe she's scared. Maybe, you know, they got into something's going on. So she said, well, let me go up to the door first and maybe possibly clear the way for you. So the lady goes up to the door, rings the doorbell, another lady answers, and so all we know is that the lady who answered the door, who lives there, is clearly upset, and she's just, you know, almost yelling at the lady to get off her property, to leave, and, you know, this isn't a joke, and all this kind of
she's
stuff.
She's going to call the cops. She's starting to call the authorities.
Yeah, and she says something like, why don't you let Cindy Sue rest in peace? And when I said that, just then I got chills. But the lady was like, what in the world is happening? So she goes back to her car. No sign of the little girl. The car is still locked because she locked the car. And the seatbelt is still buckled from where she was sitting.
Wow.
And there's a puddle of water. No, there's not.
I knew you were going to do that. Such a pain.
So I've always been intrigued with this story. But I do have to bring everyone down. Are we ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I was watching some show where they actually went to Mission Road, to the railroad tracks, and they debunked this story. And let me tell you how.
Oh, God.
Because I like to believe in stuff because I think it's fun. But if it clearly makes sense and all, and sometimes it's just outlandish. I don't really think that's outlandish.
Yeah.
And, of course, if anyone is trying to help you, I always think that that's kind of neat. But, so what it is, the road only looks like it's going uphill.
What?
It is going...
I've seen it.
It is clearly going downhill. Because they actually got out and got a bottle and put it, you know, laid it down on the road in the direction that they would push your car. And it did the exact same thing. It starts rolling and rolling, and then it's starting to pick up speed. It never stopped. So if it was going uphill, it clearly would not pick up speed. And then they did some sort of measurement tests and stuff to where they could tell, not just by the bottle, but they could tell that the road is going downhill.
That's weird.
When you're looking at it from a point of view on the road, when you see the railroad tracks, it does look like it's uphill, but in reality, it's just a figment. See what I did there?
Yeah.
It's a figment of your imagination. It's really going downhill.
That's weird.
Isn't that a letdown? But yeah.
Wait, like, oh, I've seen video of it. That it literally looks like you're going uphill.
I know. And also,
how did they figure that? I wonder.
The thing. Well, they did. They did test.
Well, yeah, I get that.
And I wish I remember what the other one was. Like I said, it was more than just that bottle. It was some sort of, they had some equipment out there and everything.
Oh, surveying equipment, I bet.
Yeah, it was probably that.
Yeah.
But the thing with the baby powder and the fingerprints.
Oh, yeah.
It is almost impossible to get your fingerprints off of your car. And so even if you wipe it down, because that's what everybody does, you know, let's just wipe it down, make it all clean. It's not really getting it clean. So in reality, when you put that baby powder there, it's just bringing up fingerprints that are already there.
Oh.
So you're really seeing your own or somebody else's.
Oh.
And, well, they're always little fingerprints, little kids. Well, how many times do you put your entire hand on the trunk of your car to close it or open it? Usually it's just your fingertips or something, part of your finger.
Just the tip.
Really? Goodness. Not in my story. Goodness. So,
wow.
There it is.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it doesn't negate the fact that it still stems from a tragic story.
Oh, yeah. And there is a town, I guess, close by, down the street, I don't know. But not a town, but an area in San Antonio, I don't know how far away, I don't think very far, where the street signs are the kids' names.
Yeah.
And one of the signs can clearly see is Cindy Sue. I thought that was really neat.
Cindy Lou Who?
Yes, because they live in Whoville.
That's still something.
It's still a tragedy. It still is horrible. And you know, whenever I was thinking about it and knowing that I wanted to talk about it, you know what it reminded me of? The school bus scene in Trick or Treat.
I know. It did to me,
and
too.
And I tell you what, that's one of my favorite scary movies.
Oh, yeah.
And I never cry during scary movies unless it's like, you know, tearing up during The Conjuring or something. But that part gets me, and it tugs at my heart.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's also a tragedy. Great movie if you haven't seen it, by the way.
Spoiler, there's a tragedy. Well, okay, my turn to tell another Texas tale of terror.
Oh, I thought we were out of time.
No. Well, mine is about the Houston Spaghetti Warehouse.
Oh. I'm sorry. Of course it would be something that has to do with food.
Oh, yeah. So the building was built in the early 1900s and was originally a warehouse, a pharmaceutical warehouse. It was something else sometime after that. But then Spaghetti Warehouse bought it in 1974, and it's like their second location, third location that had ever been opened. The story is, back when it was a pharmaceutical warehouse, the elevator shaft, one of the employees there died. He was apparently just not paying attention. He was doing a lot of paperwork, kind of shuffling through his papers, if I remember correctly, and just should have had his mind more on his environment than not just his work. And I guess it's one of those old elevators where you probably pull up the...
Oh, those are so cool.
Yeah, you know, it's almost like those old...
Yeah, you pull up the
cattle
gate and then the...
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm, then the doors open.
So, apparently he pulled it up and walked right in, thinking there was an elevator there, but it wasn't. So, he fell down the shaft and died. But this is where the story is a little odd. The Spaghetti Warehouse is not supposedly haunted by him. It's haunted by his wife, who died of a quote broken heart a year later.
Aww.
So apparently the wife is the one who's thought to haunt the location. And this is the thing about the Spaghetti Warehouse. It's like the one here in Dallas, in downtown Dallas. It's like two stories, or maybe even three.
Yeah.
Or it's multiple stories. The haunting only takes place on the second story. And the second story is where they have the trolley car and the old vault and all that stuff that was from the original building. The restaurant only utilizes the first floor. And the second floor is reserved for special events. So they said the second floor is always... it's not being used most of the time, and the lights are always dark. So that makes it... that even contributes a little bit to the creep factor of it all. But they said you are... if you're there and you're eating, and you ask, request if you can go up to the second floor and just walk around, take a peek, they'll let you.
No.
But they keep the lights off. And I think that's part of the, you know,
scare, come on. Is it,
well, I mean, it's a, let's be honest, it's a business. They're trying to, they obviously they're capitalizing on the fact that it's a haunted location to bring people in. I mean, who,
they're trying to save money on their electricity bill.
That too. But they're probably figuring, okay, if it's got this reputation of being haunted, let's use it to our advantage.
Yeah.
If people want to ask to go up to the second floor, let them go up to the second floor. But they got to go by themselves, and they got to keep the lights off. But one of the employees was saying that she was going about her business, and either another employee or a patron of the restaurant pointed out the fact that her shoelaces were levitating. Straight,
what?
They were like forward, like they were
like being pulled forward or so.
Like they were just sticking straight out.
Oh my!
So that was, she said that was like a creepy thing, and you know they've had the ghost hunter people, not the TV show, but like ghost hunters come in, and they've done like the things with their equipment, and they pick up all sorts of things, and you know, I mean, it gets to a point where you kind of think. A place gets a reputation. People are going to see things and hear things where there's not something to hear or see. So you kind of have to take a lot of stuff with a grain of salt at a certain point. But it, you know, all of this stems from somewhere. Like somebody at some point way back when, before they thought to commercialize the whole thing and make money off of it, something began these stories. You know, something way back in the day got people talking.
Mm-hmm.
There's been, you know, talk of people could hear the voices of children upstairs when there's no one up there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just all sorts of the weird stuff. It kind of makes you wonder. But then me being a little bit more skeptical about these things, I kind of think, well, you know, a lot of it is probably just the restaurant just amping that up just a little bit. I mean, come on. I mean, Loch Ness. You know, you go to Loch Ness, and what are they doing? They're trying to sell you Nessie souvenirs left and right. And you go to Dinosaur Valley.
Nessie's real.
That's true. You go to Glen Rose, the Dinosaur Valley State Park, and there's all sorts of dinosaur-themed cafes and, you know, merchandise at the gas station. So it's like, it's all well and good. It's fine. It's good business. You might as well capitalize on it. But you have to wonder after a while how much of this is real and how much are figments. Aha!
Oh,
there.
Yeah.
Right.
You did it, too. Mine is better, though.
It is. Usually is. Okay. Do you have another one you want to go?
One, but it didn't happen in Texas.
Okay.
And it's not really a ghost story. Can I say it?
No, you have to say that for something else.
Go ahead. Okay, well, I can tell it again because probably not everyone who hears this one is going to hear the other one.
Wow, you have so much faith in our listeners.
Well, you know, who knows? But anyway, okay. So my sister and I were in...
Oh, that one. You should probably say that one.
Should I say that one?
Yeah, because we're going to do other ghost stories.
Okay. I'll save that one.
Well, go ahead. Now people are...
Now you got me. Now you got me wanting to save it. My goodness. Why don't you tell another one?
Okay. Well, let's bring it back to Granbury, since that's, you know, we're kind of trying to keep... I mean, this is all Texas ghost stories, but since we are so excited about the Granbury Paranormal Expo this coming Saturday, October 1st from 10 to 5. What?
Really?
Yeah, I said it.
Free admission and free parking.
Haunted spaghetti. No, that's the other story. So, okay.
And
so,
a puddle in the back seat.
This, okay, strap in, my friends. I have a tale to tell.
Oh.
So this happened in Granbury. This person gave this account. They went to a friend's house to just, you know, the weekend. They were just kind of hanging out, drinking beer and what all. And the friend just kind of casually said, hey, it was getting close to Thanksgiving time. It was about, you know, so it was fall. He said, hey, do you want to see the ghost I've mentioned to you before? And the guy's like, yeah, sure.
No, I don't. The answer is no.
So he said, sure. So they said what they did is they walked, you know, down the street from where this guy lived. And this area, I kind of tried to look up the area to see if it kind of matched this account. And it seemed like in that particular area, they said it took place close to Sundown Lane and Davis Road there in Granbury.
Hmm.
It seems, and I'm, again, no expert of the area, but just from the maps I looked up, it seemed like there's a lot of empty lots, a lot of RV trailers and stuff like that. So there seems like there's a lot of areas where, you know, someone like us might think, oh, I wonder if Bigfoot lives out there. So anyway, I know. So they go and they walk down. He says they get to a dead end. That's basically like a little dead end turnaround. He said there are two dirt mounds. And on the right, there are two trailer homes. To the right of the two dirt mounds, two trailer homes. He said in front of one of the trailer homes is a huge tree, like a big tree. Like, you know, that's big enough to kind of like block the street light a little bit, make it a little darker. So they're over there in that area. He says, my friend said, yeah, I'm sorry, his friend said, look over to the left of that first dirt mound.
Mm-mm.
He looks. He said he didn't see anything at first, and then he realized there by the mound was a figure dressed in a white shirt and white pants. He said it then darted toward the neighbor's house on all fours in a crouching position.
No, and no.
All aboard the nope train.
Yes.
On all fours, hunched over in a pouncing position. He said this was not an animal. He said it stayed in that crouching position in all fours for a little bit. Then it stands upright. It stares at them. And then they ran off.
Oh my gosh. I thought you were going to say it charged them or something.
Oh my gosh. Now I got goosebumps.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he said that that wasn't the only thing that happened. He said, okay, so that was getting close to Thanksgiving time. He said by the time Black Friday came up, so not too long after that first incident, they had another incident. They were going to go Black Friday shopping, so I guess he was going to get up early, and he was at his friend's house. I guess they were all just going to crash there and then get up early and go shopping. It was about 3:45 in the morning. He said he wakes up to use the bathroom and he couldn't move. And then he realized not only could he not move, his eyes were open. He said not only could he not move, but he realized something was holding him down, pinning him to the couch.
Is this the guy or the friend?
The guy. The same guy. He was at the friend's house. He said so he was pinned down, and he said he couldn't move for what he felt was about 5 minutes.
Ooh.
5 minutes where he felt as if something was holding him down. He said on top of that, he said the friend would always keep the temperature at about 75 degrees. He said while this was all happening, he said it was so cold he could see his breath.
Ooh.
Yeah. So he said finally, after about what he estimated to be 5 minutes, it stopped. He said he got up, looked around, and saw a figure standing at the back door looking at him.
Oh my.
Yes.
Okay, I'm not going to be able to get to sleep tonight.
Hold on.
Oh, goodness, it gets worse.
He said, since this has happened, he's had it to where he hears someone whispering his name and laughing. But he doesn't know where the whispering and the laughing is coming from.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And he goes, it always seems to happen when he gets up to go to the bathroom. Just like when he got pinned down, he was trying to go to the bathroom, he got pinned down. So it seems like now when he gets up to go to the bathroom at night, he hears someone whispering his name and laughing. So that was submitted by a Michael. So no last name given.
Michael Myers.
That was pretty good.
That is.
Yeah.
That's a pretty scary ghost story.
Yeah.
Now, I wonder why in the first one they had to actually go to that location to see anything. You know, where the trailers were?
You think the friend set him up?
I mean, that's what it sounds like.
Because it didn't sound like the friend was too concerned.
Yeah, I mean, you want to see the ghosts, and he takes them out there. Apparently, he doesn't need to go find the ghosts. The ghost is going to find him.
That's a good point, since we are trying to, you know, we always keep an open mind, try to debunk stuff.
But, I mean, it's a great story, regardless. Oh,
the second part of it is the one that gets me.
Yeah, exactly. But, now, was that in the same... No, it was later on. I just kind of wonder why he had to take him there to see, okay, now look over to the left. I mean,
Yeah.
But it's a creepy story.
Yeah.
You know, I remember being, I guess it was Girl Scouts, and we would go do the big Girl Scout camping, not just my troop, but I guess all the troops in the Metroplex or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't really remember. And I just remember I was not with my dad, so it was not Indian princesses, you know. And I remember somebody older, maybe my sister or somebody else older that had already done it, had told me that, you know, like on the last night, you all walked down to the graveyard down the street. And I remember I was so scared to death that I didn't want to go camping, you know. But it's like you want to go because you want to be with your friends, and it's something to look forward to for the weekend after school, and you want to earn your badge and all that. But I mean, the thought of walking down to the cemetery, I mean, it's like that's all I could think about. I wasn't actually really having fun like I could have, or probably even eating very much.
Oh, man.
And I'll never forget when we went down there, we all walked together down the road. And of course, you cemeteries aren't lit up. And so you only had the moonlight and the street lights. And it was really, really scary.
Yeah.
But once we got there, I don't remember. I don't remember being in the actual cemetery. I only remember the walk down
Why?
There. I don't know. I can't remember what comes next. I wish I could.
Were you? Wait, but you were with other people.
I didn't. Yeah. I was with nothing.
I was going to say, that would have been really creepy if you were alone and that happened. It was like lost time. Now we're talking aliens.
Nothing happened. I just can't remember. I mean, maybe if I think about it hard enough, I can remember.
Okay, so in other words, you're saying you were so freaked out by the prospect that the simple
thought
things.
Of it, yeah, yes. Yeah, and I remember walking down to the cemetery and looking over across the road at like the barbed wire fence and the bushes, the trees that were over there. You know, you're out in the country because that's where we'd go camping at. You're out in the country.
Yeah.
There are no buildings around at all. And you just think that, okay, the Headless Horseman's over there. And somebody, you know, the lady from the lake is over there.
Mothman is
so,
over there.
Yeah. And so the walk there to the cemetery was enough. Now, probably once we got to the cemetery, we were singing campfire songs or something. I don't remember.
But you were so freaked out by that point, that didn't matter.
No, it didn't. It was everything before that. And I was so
scared.
So nothing
actually happened.
Nothing happened.
This isn't really a ghost story.
No, but I mean, but
it's a good.
We were going down there to tell ghost stories, and the thought of it in an actual cemetery, I mean, now you see that in, you know, like on The Hollow or, you know, one of your shows that you like to watch, like Murder, She Wrote.
Nope.
They go out there to the cemetery, just like two of them or three of them, and hang out. You know, I mean, I think you and I can do that. I don't know. Maybe.
Just
maybe
to
like,
clarify that, I do not watch Murder, She Wrote. Let me just get that clear right now.
Hey, now. I don't know if we'd want to go to the cemetery in Kaufman. Just the two of us.
Oh, and that's really out
at
there
night,
by itself.
Just by ourselves, you know.
I'm up for that. Do like a live Figments
out
there.
Oh, my goodness. See, just the thought of that is scaring me right now.
Big chicken. See, but that's a good point. Even though that's not like a particularly a ghost story per se, it's relevant to what we're talking about because sometimes, you know, you get things in your head. Like you were saying, it's just if the thought is put, if the suggestion is put in your head, then you start to hear things that aren't really there. You start to see things that aren't really there. And that's the problem with a lot of these things is you're going to a spaghetti warehouse thinking, oh, we're going to the haunted spaghetti warehouse.
Right.
And then you go up to the second floor and, of course, you're going to hear something that's paranormal.
Yeah.
In reality, it's probably just the pipes or the fact that there's 200 people downstairs, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
It's funny that you brought up a cemetery story. Were you done with that?
Yeah, I'm
okay.
done.
It leads into my last story I wanted to tell, which happens to be a cemetery story.
Ooh.
And again, this is a Granberry ghost story in honor of the Granberry Paranormal Society this Saturday, October 1st from 10 to 5. Free parking, free admission.
Really?
With Tug the Bulldog. Bull Terrier. I keep saying Bulldog! Oh my gosh!
Yeah, they're not going to let you in now.
I know, right? Okay, so this was another story that was submitted by a local Granberry resident.
It's not very long.
Is his name Jason Voorhees this time?
Yes. Yes. So apparently, the Granbury Cemetery is also known as the College Hill Cemetery, but it's, I guess, officially known as the Granbury Cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
So they went there, this person and two of their friends, and they claim that all three of them are sensitive to the paranormal, which they said in retrospect was probably foolish, because if you're sensitive to the paranormal, then the last thing you want to do is go to a cemetery.
Yeah.
But they went, and they said there on the premises is an above-ground crypt, and it's always padlocked and closed at night, this crypt.
I'm already shaking my head.
Yeah, I know, she's already shaking it. If this was only a video. So they get there, and it's about 3 in the morning, okay? So that, right there, like, F that, in the morning.
That's actually, isn't that witching hour?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Yes.
It is not midnight, people. It is 3.
Is it? I mean, I always thought it was 3. Yeah. People always say it's midnight, but I don't know. Somebody can correct us if we're wrong. Well, so anyway, it's usually padlocked and closed, this crypt. Open.
No.
Open. Yeah. So, they said that, you know, I guess they were kind of coasting through, and they said the car that they were in, they said the radio was broken. But then, it starts up when they get to the crypt. And they said it started up despite the fact that their iPod was plugged in. The iPod started to play static, but the radio was playing. Yeah, so it was like, you know, and I know we talked about this with Brandy on our last episode, where, you know, I asked, you know, sometimes, like, electronics freak out around when there's paranormal activity, and she's saying the reason why is they suspect that the spirits are trying to draw energy from whatever readily available source there is, batteries or whatever else is around.
Right.
So anyway, their radio starts up, but their iPod's playing static. This is, so they're fiddling with the radio, trying to figure out what the heck is going on. So their attention is down on their dashboard.
Oh,
stop. Let me finish.
No.
Sorry, just getting scared of me. I can already see the goosebumps. So their attention is down on the dash and the iPod. Well, then they all look up. Standing in front of their vehicle was a man in an old military uniform. And they said, despite the fact that it was 75 degrees that night, they said the car immediately got cold inside.
Of course.
The radio goes back to normal. I guess the guy just disappears?
Yeah.
They get out of the car, and in the white gravel dust is a set of boot prints.
Oh.
Not like walking up or away, but just a pair of boot prints.
Crazy.
Yeah. So, and this cemetery, they said that there's war veterans buried there stretching as far back as the War of 1812.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's an old cemetery. So, yeah, 1812 on up to, you know, I think Vietnam era, and then maybe after that they maybe got... There's my other Granbury ghost story that I wanted to tell tonight, so...
I think someone's trying to get some Granbury points. You know, you don't get points for having ghost stories in Granbury, right?
I automatically get points because I know Tug. So,
well, I do too. You know, and it's so crazy how everything works in life and the stories that everyone has. But we have some friends that we know. We have some friends that we know. We have friends and we know them too.
Sorry,
I guess it's not enough wine for me. But anyway, their house is supposedly haunted. And they were telling us, just a real quick story.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. And so they were telling us some ghost stories and stuff. And I believe them. You know,
I do too.
And I think one of the daughters is more, like, sees stuff more than the others.
A little more sensitive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, we were over there and listening to all these stories, and I had to go to the bathroom. So, I go in, and they had said that a lot of the happenings happen on the staircase. So, like a big dummy, when I'm done in the restroom, I just go up a few steps and stand there. And I don't know how to explain it, but I kind of, again, like a big dummy, I guess open myself up to it.
That was your first mistake.
Yeah, and I shouldn't have. And I know I shouldn't have. And I immediately, and I, again, I can't explain how I did that, but immediately I started feeling, and the only way I can explain this was just a bunch of cold swirls swirling around my body, like it was coming to me. It was being invited or something. And I was like, nope, I'm not doing this. No, no. And didn't I even tell you that I said something like I said something with God's name in it. To,
yeah, like you rebuked it or something?
Yeah, yeah, honestly. And then,
I don't think that's funny. I think it's smart.
And then it immediately went away. I didn't feel it anymore. And I asked forgiveness for that. And I said, I am never going to do that again. But, I mean, it happened. I felt it. And I did not imagine that. Sorry.
You're describing that. I imagine that scene in Raiders of the Lost Ark where they open the Ark of the Covenant and all the spirits are floating around everybody.
And, you know, it's funny. Whenever I was describing it, I was thinking of that scene, but I couldn't remember what movie it was from.
Oh, my gosh.
That's crazy, too.
It is. Well, guys, thank you for joining us on our return back to the world of Figments. This has been great.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Thank you guys for listening so much and believing in us and giving us another chance on season 2.
And if we haven't mentioned it enough, make sure you check out the Granberry Paranormal Expo this coming Saturday, October 1st, from 10 to 5, free parking, free admission, and the zombie pub crawl afterwards. And make sure you either pick up one in person there in Granberry or
order online.
Yeah, Amazon. Check out Brandy Herr's book, H-E-R-R, by the way, Haunted Granberry. So you definitely want to get yourself a copy of that.
Forgetting one important thing doesn't have to do with Granberry. It's the State Fair! State Fair season!
Yeah, well, they're not our sponsor, so...
I know, but we're going to be at the fair the day before. I'm so excited about that, too. It's going to be such a cool weekend.
Yeah. So, but thanks again for joining us, and Colleen, why don't you take us out?
I will. Where do you want to go? No, I'm just kidding. Tonight, when you're going to bed, and you're laying down, and you are trying to fall asleep, when you hear those rattling noises, or maybe even those moans and groans, ask yourself this. Are they real, or are they figments? Good night, folks.
Good night.
Figments is a production of EdMed Art Studios and hosted by the Jedi Cole Universe. You can find us at www.jedicole.com and www.eddiemedina.com. Thank you for listening, and keep searching for the unknown.